First one that comes to mind is an African chant, Yabo Yabo. It means Earth Mother Spirit Rising. So I'll do that one. I'm going to use the drum to accompany myself.
Start by telling me how you came to Oroville and what your affiliation is with it now.
I came to Oroville. Well, I was living in beautiful Kauai and met some people from Oroville who did a slideshow. And my wife and our two children, we watched the slideshow and we were like, wow, that looks like a really cool place. So let's go check it out. And so we did. We didn't really know anything about Sri Aurobindo or the mother at that time, but we were really interested in eco village and sustainable, intentional spiritual community, and something alternative to mainstream American consumerist culture. For our children, we wanted to show them something a little different and show them how lucky they are to live in Hawaii. That's it. That was what drew us here.
So what are you doing here now?
What am I doing here now? I'm teaching. I'm on the faculty for Living Roots, which is a fantastic, wonderful program around sustainability and group dynamics and body, mind, spirit. And it's with the students from America who are coming here to learn and share and grow and be a part of this community. So I'm really enjoying being a part of the learning community that Living Roots is.
So yeah. Where did your history in making music start?
I think in the womb, I was tapping out some beats. So my mom tells me. No, when I was a child, I started singing, and I realized it was a really good way to express my feelings, my sadness and my anger and my grief, and a really safe way to express that. So I often, when I felt upset, I would go up into my room and sing. And so then that turned into having a band in high school, a rock and roll band, singing, playing drums, and then picking up guitar later. And then I lived in an ashram for a year and a half, Kripalu. I came upon the healing power of sound through mantra, through intention, and then a whole new world opened up to me with music. I started actually taking some African drum lessons before I'd gotten to Kripalu. I was real interested in that groove. And so I learned some African chants from the Yoruba tradition, some Orisha chants, and I really liked that. Then when I got to the ashram, I started doing the Hindi and Sanskrit bhajans, which were devotional chants to God. I guess before that, when I was a child, I was raised Christian, and I really liked singing in church. So that's sort of like chants, yeah. So it's all devotional music is what I guess really is what I'm into. And for me, it's about opening the heart and trying to quiet the mind, still the mind, and dive into the heart, and then just bliss out with music. Yeah.
So you're using chanting as a form of healing. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Absolutely. Yeah, when you sit in a circle with a group of people, and I prefer a circle, and you get some song going, you teach a song to people, it tends to harmonize the energy of the group, especially if the intention is framed beforehand that we're doing this for healing, we're doing this for peace, for love, for joy, we're doing this to bliss out together. Then what happens is people start really blissing out together and the heart's open. And you just see, you experience a change in the vibration in the room that you're in. And I imagine that it goes way beyond the room.
Well, it has to, right? Because there's no separation from the room and external world.
Sure. So I believe we're healing the planet when we're singing. And also when we're singing, we're giving ourselves an inner massage. So that feels really yummy. So what I try to do is I try to help guide people to really close their eyes and go inside and feel the vibrations moving through the body. And that's a big part of it, is really bringing you into the present moment by feeling what's going on. And singing together and singing beautiful songs is really, it's transformational for me, and I think for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Especially the rainbow chants. People really seem to love the rainbow chants. There's a smaller crowd that's drawn to the Indian kirtan, you know, the Sanskrit and Hindi bhajans. But everybody seems to be really into the rainbow chants.
One of the CDs that you have out is the rainbow chants in particular, right?
That's right.
So can you talk a little bit more about that CD and how that came to be?
Sure. It was the effort behind it and the intention behind it was to create a CD where people, we had already created a book with the chants in it, about 140 plus chants. And I was leading these song circles, and then people were saying, oh, could you make CDs so we can remember the melodies of these chants? And so we started with the first one, and we got 17 songs on there. Actually, it was just me. And I start by teaching the song, by singing the song, and then call and response format, and then I start layering harmonies in so that people can add to the harmonics of the song. And then I usually start doing a little improvising towards the end of each song. So it kind of builds and crescendos, and then it comes back down again, and then you go into silence and that bask in the stillness, that blissful silence.
And you have two other CDs out, correct?
Yeah.
And what are those about?
The first CD is singer-songwriter songs, and they basically are sort of, I look at them as healing affirmations, and some of them are a bit poetic or lyrical, and others are more kind of straight up. Some are fun, some are real bouncy, so it's kind of a mix of music. It's a little more folk rocky with guitar and lots of different harmonies, and that's really just kind of a personal expression of the inner journey and also the outer journey, I suppose. And it's the songs, a lot of them are about love, sort of bridging the gap between divine love and human love, sort of bringing them together. That's kind of what the idea in the songs is. And also just creating more peace within and more harmony between people. So,
do you ever chant with your family?
Yeah, my daughter and my wife often will come to the chanting sessions. And my wife particularly loves the kirtan because we tend to go deeper inward with that format. And my daughter loves the rainbow chanting because it's a lot more like playful with the external. And my son, he's not too into it at this point. So
could you explain maybe the history of rainbow chanting, or what even that word rainbow means in this context?
Yeah, so I started going to rainbow gatherings I guess about 20 years ago. I've finished my master's degree in graduate school. I started traveling, and then somebody said, hey, you want to go to a rainbow gathering? I didn't even know what it was. So I went, and it was a gathering of people from all walks of life in the forest, and basically with a sort of a focus on earth-centered spirituality, but also incorporating all different kinds of spirituality. And there were workshops. Everything is free in the gathering. And there were these amazing song circles that were going on. And sometimes I would stay up all night long going from circle to circle, singing and playing drums and learning these songs. And they're songs that travel all around the world because the rainbow family is really all of us. And so when we come together in the forest and we celebrate together in this way and sometimes mourn, this really, it's the universal language, music. It like connects us all. Everybody, doesn't matter if you don't even speak the language, if you can make music together, it's really connecting at the heart level and the soul level. So that's where I come up with the word rainbow chants. That's what we call them. These are these songs that travel all around the world that kind of bring more harmony into our lives.
Right. Isn't there tones that we all recognize as in tune, or particular notes that are universal that everyone recognizes as being in tune?
I guess you could say that C, or in India it's called Sa, is the vibrations. Some of the yogis say it's the vibration of the first chakra. So the root chakra. So when you sing this tone, it supposedly vibrates your first chakra. And then you go up through the different chakras and you go up the tonal ladder, so to speak, C, D, E, F, G, A. Now, some people have done research and found that it's not necessarily always the case, that sometimes the first chakra will resonate at a different tone. It depends on the person and the circumstances. And in many cultures, tone is not that important. It seems like it's more important that they're just singing together. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure about that. But when I listen to music from other cultures, I often notice that the melody is not quite as important, or the pitch is not quite as important as just that they're singing. Mm-hmm. And they're singing together. Or in shamanic traditions, sometimes the tone can be like an in-between tone, and it's sort of trancing you out, you know? And that's really beautiful in its own right, too. And you can also accomplish this in a circle.
Do you ever use singing bowls or anything like that?
I don't use singing bowls. I'm really into oming, getting a group om going, and then letting people kind of go off wherever they feel called to. So the tones start changing like that, and overtoning with the voice. So creating overtones by adjusting how the tongue is positioned in the mouth. It kind of gives like a didgeridoo effect. So sometimes when I play music with other people, I love when we use didgeridoo, we use barimbau, we use kora, we use a variety of different, whatever instruments people bring in. I don't specifically use the bowls, but I definitely have played with the singing bowls and know that they're really powerful, yeah.
Why is om so important as a vibration to move through the body?
So om is the universal tone. It's what Saraswati created the universe by singing. So it's sort of the word made flesh. It's the unmanifest become manifest. And it encompasses all the sounds in the universe. So even if you don't enjoy producing the sound, you can just hear it. If you open your ears, your mind's ear, then you can hear that all the sounds blend together and expand your awareness into all the sounds, and you can bliss out on that. It's a portal, you know? So om is a portal into the infinite, and singing is a portal into the infinite, and drumming, and
So you keep using this term to bliss out. Can you try to articulate in a way what that feels like?
Yeah, it's like I would liken it to just the deep, peaceful vibration, ecstatic vibration of our true nature when we're not thinking and we're just enjoying being. So it's I guess it's difficult to describe blissing out. It's I guess ecstasy is kind of the best way of describing it. But it's not necessarily this screaming, jumping up and down kind of ecstasy. It's like an inner ecstasy. It's just the joy of being, yeah. And it's getting rid of all the past and all the future and just being here in the here and now. And celebrating together, and that's makes people feel really good. It's pleasant for most people most of the time.
Do you do chanting circles in Oroville?
I before I took the job with Living Roots, yeah, I was doing this regularly, a couple times a week, and then also I was doing Healing Voice Play Shops, Freeing Your Healing Voice Play Shops, which were four-hour play shops where I would kind of guide people using sonic meditations, using the Shruti box, and playing with sound, moving the sound through the different chakras by chanting the different bija mantras or seed sounds that are specific to each chakra.
And that's a sonic meditation?
Yeah, you can use that as a sonic meditation. And the beautiful thing about sonic meditation is that because it's such a physical experience, it kind of brings your mind back into your body, into the here and now. So your mind can get quiet very easily, as opposed to when you're trying to sit in silent meditation and your thoughts are going really wild. So singing kind of like tunes that out pretty fast, or at least it fades into the background and sometimes altogether disappears. That's why I love sonic meditation. It feels yummy too.
So for people that have a hard time getting into a meditative state of mind just by sitting, this might be an easier way for them to get comfortable with meditation.
Yeah, or they could maybe do dancing if they don't like to make sound. Sounding it's ancient wisdom. It's ancient wisdom.
So where are your CDs available if anyone would like to purchase them or get their hands on them?
Well, the Visitor Center La Boutique carries them, and there's a Auroville boutique also in Quilapalayam called Oasis, and they carry them. And then normally when I play, I do a chanting session or I do a song circle or a workshop, I always have them with me so people can purchase. Oh, they can also get them online at cdbaby.com. cdbaby.com. And you can listen to snippets of them and see if you like it, if it's really what turns you on.
And what's something that someone can practice on their own that would be an easy chant to kind of just do in your own time?
I think what I usually recommend for people is to start humming. It's something that's kind of doesn't disturb most other people. And then to open up into awe and to play with awe and let awe go all over the place. Because the M sound, this is the Bija mantra called Chandra Bija. It's a very soothing, kind of calming sound. And you can feel it traveling through your body, and it's a nice way to just kind of calm yourself down. So any time of the day, you can do this Bija mantra, the M sound, Chandra Bija. And then you can also do the Ah meditation, which is just the Ah sound. And you can kind of let that take you wherever you want to go. You can spread your wings and fly. The Ah sound in Sanskrit is called Agni Bija. And Agni is a spiritual fire, so it's a really expansive. It has an expansive quality to it. So when you do this, you're sending your energy out. And sometimes if you do it for 20 minutes or 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you feel like you're getting really high and you're flying. It's a natural high. Mm-hmm. One of my teachers, Kripalu, said that music is the greatest intoxicant in the world. Enough said.
Can you think of anything else that you want to share about each chance, about vibrations or music?
Yeah, I guess part of my mission on Earth is just to really get people to sing, to heal the planet with their song, with their singing. It's like the Australian Aborigines, they sing the song lines. And in Sanskrit, in India, you know, the singing is, it's everywhere. You hear it going on all the time. I think we can heal our planet. We can heal ourselves through the power of this. It's like a tool, you could call it. And it's also a vehicle to take us to the other side of the river. And I think if the intention is to create more love and peace on the planet, then it's that much more powerful. So And if you add visualization, that makes it even more powerful. So you can visualize a person that you love or a person that you maybe are having trouble with it, but you would like to be more compassionate with. And you can send the energy out in that way. And they might not be aware of it consciously, but that healing energy is going out there. So we can really affect everything around us. Yeah.
Would you like to do part of the chant right now?
Sure. That would be fun. I'm going to play. I'll turn on my digital tablet for it. Mission is to really invite people to come out, to let their voice come free and to sing, because most people seem to have a block around singing. They feel like they can't sing, or they've been told they can't sing, and our culture has reinforced the belief for at least the past 100 years or so that people are either born with a good instrument or they're not, and that if they're one of the few people who has a good instrument, if they train enough, they can make a great instrument out of their voice. But if they aren't born with it, then they shouldn't sing because they're torturing everybody else. And what we found in recent years, if you look at the research, is that that myth, that belief is being debunked. And what we're finding is like 98% of the population of humans are capable of perfect pitch with a little bit of ear training, or maybe a lot of ear training, some more than others. But basically everybody can sing. And it reminds me of the African proverb, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. So I really want to encourage everybody to sing. Sing for the joy of it. Sing for fun. And see how the universe responds to you when you sing.
Yemaya, yemaya, ago braso yemil yemaya, 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 ago braso yemil yemaya, 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 ago braso yemil yemaya, yemaya, yemaya. Ago braço e meu e uma ye. Ago braço, go braço e uma ye. Ago braço, go braço e uma ye. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e uma ye. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e uma ye. E maia, e maia. Ago braço e meu e uma ye. Yemaya, yemaya, ago braso imil yemaye, yemaya, yemaya, ago braso imil yemaye, yemaya, yemaya, ago braso imil yemaye. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e maie. 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 E maia. Ago braço e mil e uma ye, yemaya, yemaya. Ago braço e mil e uma ye, yemaya, yemaya. Ago braço e mil e uma ye, yemaya, yemaya. Ago braço e mil e uma ye. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e maie. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e maie. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e maie. Ago braço, go braço, go braço e maie.